Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Ravencast. My name is Adam Erickson, and I am here with my dear friend and colleague at the Raven Foundation, Suzanne Ross. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Adam. Good morning.
Good morning. So I just want to get people an introduction to what the Ravencast is. We are a product of the Raven Foundation, which is where we talk about mimetic theory and the violence and the conflicts, which often divide our nation, our families, and sadly, our world. And also we try to develop and promote ways to deal with that conflict. And I'm excited to talk with you today about, Suzanne, about a movie that I think is leading us in a really great direction when it comes to conflict and peace and violence within our world, which is taking the world by storm. It's this movie Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it's so popular right now.
I know, and I saw it a couple days ago. I know that you saw it last week, and today I couldn't resist, so I'm wearing my favorite superhero on my t-shirt, which is Spider-Man. There he is. Hang right there.
Nice.
I don't have a Wonder Woman shirt, but I need to get a Wonder Woman shirt because Wonder Woman may become my favorite superhero after watching this movie.
I know. I'm not a big fan of the genre necessarily, though, you know, the first Batman movies I really liked and Superman movies, but when I left the theater, I thought, well, it's certainly the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. What did you like about Wonder Woman so much?
Well, I loved the fact that I believed in her physicality. A lot of times these female leads that are playing these superhero types, I just don't buy into them. That they can physically do what they're showing me that they're doing on the screen. And this young actress just convinced me completely.
Gal Gadot, she rocked it. She's a fairly attractive young lady too, I got to admit. This movie's not so bad. And as you say, like the physical nature of what she did was just phenomenal. So
yeah, it was really fun.
Not just in the way that she kicked ass and took names, but the physicality also in the emotion that she expressed through her acting ability was just, it made me believe in this character and made me love this character. The way that her emotions just poured through throughout the movie. So, yeah.
Right, right. No, it was great.
The other reason that I think we love this movie is because there are violent movies, and we often think, oh, this movie is so bad because it's violent or something like that. But there are movies that are violent, and there are movies that are about violence, right?
Yes.
There are movies that portray violence in different ways. Some of them portray violence as just a good, natural thing that we have to do. And there are other movies that kind of question violence in certain places throughout the movie. One way of talking about this is Walter Wink's way of the myth of redemptive violence.
Right. And I think that's why you and I wanted to talk about this movie in a Ravencast, because it is a movie with violence in it, but it questions some of the tenets of this myth of redemptive violence, which is that, you know, you can easily tell the good guys from the bad guys, and the only thing required to achieve peace is to get rid of the bad guys. And that's what good guys are for. You know, so that certainly, you know, we can just dive into the beginning of the movie, but also I want to say, you know, spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about the whole movie. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you know, listen wisely.
If you haven't seen the movie yet, go see the movie. It's about 2 hours and 20 minutes. We'll wait.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. You're back. Okay. Let's dive into it. I love the way that the movie bookends this idea that we're talking about. So the first words and the last words belong to Diana Prince, who is Wonder Woman, right? In the first line, she says, "I used to want to save the world, this beautiful place, but I was so naive then." And then at the end of the movie, she talks more about that naivete. And she says, "I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to mankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light. I learned that inside every one of them, there will always be both. The choice each must make for themselves, something no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save the world. So now I stay, I fight, I give for the world I know can be. This is my mission now, forever." So you see this transformation within Wonder Woman, where she has this, and I think what they're talking about is she was naive about violence, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So so you see this transformation that Wonder Woman takes from the beginning of the movie all the way to the end of the movie, and how that transformation takes place.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it's in the context of World War One, which was at the time said to be the war to end all wars. And what that meant was that the horror of the violence was so obvious that you could no longer deny the truth that violence leads nowhere. Violence is an exercise in futility. And because of the type of war that that was, just trench warfare, where the front didn't move more than a few yards over the course of years, but people kept dying. It seemed that we can no longer deny the futility of violence, and yet somehow we managed to keep doing that. And the war didn't end all wars, but that's how the movie opens, with Wonder Woman, Diana, having as her mission to defeat the god of war, who is apparently the only god left, which I thought was pretty interesting. But also that it's perceived as the only obstacle to peace. If all she needs to do, and this is the naivete she's referring to, all she has to do is to defeat this one super bad guy, and the world will be peaceful forever.
This Ares, the god of war, who is just enticing humans to destroy themselves through war. This is the job that the god of war is all about. He's jealous of humans because Zeus creates humans, and Zeus likes humans, and Ares is the son of Zeus. And so Ares tries to entice. It's really interesting. The Ares character is really kind of interesting because he allows for human freedom, but just does that, just like whispers into humans, enticing them to be more violent towards one another.
Yeah, exactly. What I really loved about that character was that he wasn't who Diana thought he was. He turned out to be hidden, if you will, behind a facade of goodness.
He was on Diana's team, right? Yeah. And so this is what is so essential, I think, about understanding evil, is that the movie lays out right before us, is that evil is not just on the other guys. It's not just the other people who are evil. Darkness and light. I love the imagery that the movie has throughout. Darkness and light resides within us all. There is one line that Steve, what's his last name?
Steve Trevor.
Thank you. Yeah. Steve Trevor says, when Diana is trying to go after this god of war, he says, "I wish I could tell you there was one man to blame. We're all to blame for this."
Yeah.
So you see this deconstruction of the myth of redemptive violence happening throughout the movie. The myth that says they are the bad guys. If we just defeat them, then we can have peace. You see that deconstructed by Steve when he says, "We're all in this. Good and evil run down through all of us, and we're all to blame for this." And so there's even like this way that Diana blames the god of war, Ares, for this violence. And it's just a way of deflecting responsibility for violence from ourselves. And Steve, the human character, says that we're all to blame for this. We all have to take responsibility for this.
Right. Yeah, he's an interesting character in a lot of ways, because he's fully engaged in defeating the bad guys. You know, he, in his mind, he knows who the good guys are because he's on their side. And yet he has this very, what you would say, more sophisticated understanding of how violence works than Diana does at the beginning of the movie. And yet I just find he's more complex than a typical good guy. And he helps Diana on her journey, you know, to explode her sense that, because she says too, I thought I just had to defeat the god of war and everything would be fine. And when she does, the war is still going on. She thought that something magical would happen, you know.
Right.
And sadly, it didn't.
And Diana comes to this point where she's talking with Steve, and she says that it isn't just the Germans that Ares corrupted. He's corrupted you too.
Yeah. See, I think that's what's so seductive about, you know, the myth of violence. And we call it a myth here at Raven because for us, maybe we should make a small aside. A myth in the context of violence is a lie. So that the god of war, if you will, is telling the lie that good people can use violence to end violence. That's the fundamental lie of violence that gets repeated over and over again. And it's a very seductive lie because good people really, really want to end violence. They're not in it like Steve Trevor. He's really, really trying to end the war and to reduce casualties and to, you know, destroy the new weapon that's being developed, this mustard gas, poison gas, you know. And so it's not that people who are using violence to end violence are bad people. And I think that's what Diana understands fundamentally at the end, meaning that if you're going after bad people, it's really easy to conjure up a big long list of who the bad people are without ever realizing that you're seeing there, you are the same as they are. You are using violence in the same way they're using it. And once she sees that, her mission changes, which I think is really powerful at the end, the quote that you read, you know, where she says she has a new mission, you know, it's no longer to be the god killer. It's more of a, I think the movie ends with, not in this triumphant way, the way superhero movies tend to end, but in a much more melancholy way, you know.
She comes to the point where she sees that her violence is not going to save the world. So her mission changes from being the god killer, the destroyer, to seeing that the only thing that can truly save the world is love.
Yeah.
And she's transformed in this way by her relationship with Steve.
Yeah.
Who it's not just a, you know, when I first heard that, I was like, well, what does she mean by love? But it's clear in the context of the movie that what she means by love is what she's been shown by Steve, which is this love that's willing to, as Jesus says, lay down your life for your friends, right? I mean, that's what love is. And Steve ends up performing this act of, I guess you could call it sacrificial love, where he saves a certain village from this gas destruction by taking it up in the air and shooting his gun at it. And he performs this act of self-sacrificial love to save others.
Yeah,
that's the love that will save the earth. the world.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, you and I talked a little bit about that moment just before he fires the gun, where there's this very gentle smile on his face. And I've been thinking about that and realizing that that's a really important moment, because what it says is that he is choosing to do this willingly. It's not forced upon him. It's a choice he's making, and it's that choice that Diana says at the end, that we all face a choice. There's darkness in us, there's light. How are we going to act? And the choice also between whether we're going to perceive our own violence as good, whether we're going to employ violence. These are all choices that are messy and complicated and not clear cut. Every situation has to be approached with a lot of discernment in it. But within this moment, Steve says, I'm willing to give my life to save this community, even though I know it's not going to end violence forever. You know, he has it's a much more limited mission, but he does it willingly. And I think the comparison to Christ there is fairly good, because Christ consistently says, especially in the Gospel of John, I'm going of my own free will to this, to the cross. No one's making me do it. And it doesn't mean you're suicidal, which is why I think that we know Steve is not suicidal, and yet he does it willingly. And I think that's a very important moment in the movie.
Some commentators I've heard do say that he commits an act of suicide, and this, it's not suicide, as you say, it's an act of love.
Yes.
Towards another. So,
yeah, it's right.
The other theme that runs throughout this movie that is really interesting is the difference between what we deserve and what we believe. I think it's set up in that way as humans. Diana's mother says they don't deserve you.
Yes.
So why are you going? And so throughout the movie, you get other quotes where they say things like, these humans don't deserve you. And you get quotes, it's not about what they deserve, it's about what you believe.
Right. Right.
And you get to the point where she begins to transform her belief, transform her faith from one that's about killing the bad guy into one that's more about love and compassion towards other. And this is seen near the end of the movie, where you have Dr. Poison and the God of War and Diana right there, and she's holding up a tank and she's about to give into this violent streak that the God of War wants her to give into, and she resists. And there's the Dr. Poison who's got this face that's been deformed by her own poison. I mean, this is evil. This is what happens when we get consumed by evil. It starts to deform us. You see this in this movie. You see it in Star Wars with Palpatine, who becomes deformed by evil over time. Evil can corrupt us in such a way that it does take a physical toll on us, not just a spiritual toll. And you see it in Dr. Poison. And here's this evil character who's seen as so bad. And even this character, Diana says, it's not about what she deserves, it's about what I believe. And I believe that love now is the way that the world is going to be transformed, even a love that saves those we call our enemies.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment. And it also, you know, brings up this issue of, a lot of times we make that good guy, bad guy divide through the difference between genders, that, you know, men are violent and women are not. And this movie is being talked about a lot in sort of feminist terms, that, you know, women, she's a female lead, she's carrying the movie, she's stronger than all the men, and that sort of stuff. But so it could make it easy for us to say, well, see, the women now are the good guys. But it's Steve who teaches her about love, So, you know, there's the difference. And also the Dr. Poison is a woman. So women are portrayed as just as capable of evil as men. And Diana begins just as naive and committed to the myth of redemptive violence as the god of war is. You know, violence is, you know, a tool in our arsenal, and all we got to do is kill the bad guys. So I like that this movie, while it is empowering for women in a lot of ways, it's also a cautionary tale to women to say, well, once you have the power, you know, how are you going to wield it? Because it's the same question that men face and that feminists critique men for, because a patriarchal culture has been not very respectful or kind to the gender of women. And so this whole question of where does goodness reside, it's not within one gender or another. It's within the choices that we make when we have power, when we are empowered. And so Diana's journey is a great one. It's a great feminist journey that I wish the girls that are sticking the swords down the backs of their wedding dresses and prom dresses would just watch the movie all the way to the end and get that sword out of there, because I think Diana's final revelation is that the sword was not the key to saving the world.
The other thing that I love about her character is that throughout the movie, she just has this great compassion for the vulnerable and the weak. And you see it in that scene with the baby where she's in this human world and she's never seen a baby before. She's heard about them. She's read about them in books that she read when she was growing up, but she's never seen a baby before. And she hears this cry of the baby and she just runs to it. It's like when she hears the cry of the villagers. And she just runs to them and tries to save them. It's just, she's moved. She's motivated by compassion and love for others. And yeah, this is, I think it's a great feminist movie, but it's also a really great human movie. I mean, this is, I want to be more like Wonder Woman. She's inspiring. I mean, the way that her character moves and changes throughout the movie, and how she's always motivated by compassion, but she begins to question her own violence, is just a really powerful character development that happens really well in this movie. So,
yeah, I think it does. The movie does an excellent job of questioning the ways in which we justify violence, and we do it in a way that makes us feel like the superheroes in these stories, you know.
After this movie, she becomes very reluctant to use violence. And I think that when you were talking about what you do when you have power, the line that Wonder Woman has is, what one does when faced with the truth is more difficult than one thinks. And I think that it's talking about the truth about violence. What one does when we're faced with the truth about violence is much more difficult than one thinks. Because when faced with the truth about violence, this myth of redemptive violence just blows up. And you begin to see the truth that Steve Trevor was talking about, that it's the darkness and the light that just runs through each one of us. And what Diana does with that truth, we'll see hopefully in the next movie.
I can't wait. I know. It's fabulous. So,
awesome. Well, thanks, Suzanne, for having this conversation with me. And everybody who's listening in or watching in on YouTube, please let us know what you think about Wonder Woman. What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? You can make your comments on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or on YouTube, or better yet, on the Raven Foundation website, ravenfoundation.org, on the Raven Foundation Facebook page, and on the Ravencast Facebook page. You can find Suzanne on her Facebook page or on her Twitter, which is Suzanne Ross RF. I'm at Adam Erickson on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook too. So Until next time, grace and peace be with you. Bye-bye.